Begin the current daf, Masech Zabay Dezor daf Nun Beis. Begin on the bottom of Nun Alvam Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we quoted the halacha of our mission that said that the Avay Dezorah of a non-Jew becomes forbidden immediately once it's made. In contrast, the Avay Dezorah of a Jew only becomes forbidden once it is served. And that said, the Gemara, that's like Rabbi Kiva, which is a machlikas tanoim in the brisa that the Gemara quoted. The Gemara quoted that the pasuk says in Devarim, "Abi ta abdu nes kol makayim esh abdu shema goyim." Says the brisa, what's that talking about? By the kalim that were utilized in the service of avodah zarah. It continues the brisa. You would think it would be forbidden even if it wasn't served yet. Tamalema, that's what it says over there. Esh abdu shema goyim, which the goyim had served, which is it's not forbidden until it's actually served. Says the Braisa, from here you learn that the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is not forbidden until it's served. In contrast, that of a Jew is forbidden right away. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Pekiva says, no, the exact opposite, which our Gemara is going to explain the source for that. And that is the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is forbidden right away, and that of a Jew is forbidden only when it's served. That's the Braisa. That was to show that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. So now our Gemara explains the Braisa. Amama. The Tana of the Braisa said, now, what's the pasuk talking about over there that we're quoting? It's talking about the vessels that were utilized in the service of Avodah Zarah. That is the Gemara. What do you mean? The words in the pasuk that the Braisa quotes, "Abed to abdun es kol hamakaymis asher abdu shamagoyim," destroy all the places that the non-Jews served. So how can you say it's about the kalim? Says the Gemara, if it's not talking about that you have to destroy their places that they served, delay mitzvah, because that does not become forbidden. So like it says there in that pasuk, it says, Eloiheihem al hehar, their gods on the mountains, which we quoted this drash in the previous staff, Veloi hehar meleihem, but the mountains do not become their gods. They can't make the actual places that from Hashem's creation that should be forbidden. So the Gemara continues, on top of Nun Bezim and Aleph, Teneu in Likalem. That's what the Tana the Braisa, meaning the Rabbi Shmuel, is saying, that it's not obviously not talking about places. It's coming to tell you regarding something that's secondary to the Avodah Zarah, just like places, which refers to the utensils that are used in the service of Avodah Zarah. Which the Braisa continues, and the Gemara quotes, Mikan Amru, from here they say, Avodah Kachavim Shal Avodah Kachavim. Well, that's what the Pasuk Tomas, the Avodah Zarah of the non-Jews, of the nations of Canaan that you're going to conquer and take over, regarding the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, Einasura Elat Shatei Avod, only becomes forbidden once it's served, as Rabbi Shmuel had quoted there in the Braisa, that the words over there say, Asha Abdu Sham Hagoyim, it's only once it's served, in contrast, Vesha Yisrael Miyad, but the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is Asar immediately once it's made, even if it wasn't served yet. Now that asked the Gemara, but Vabakel Mukimnala, you just explained the pasuk there is Tomat, although it says Mukaimus, but it can be places. It says Tomat, Kalim. So Kalim don't become Asr until they're served. Where do you see anything about the actual Avodah Zarah that the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is only forbidden once it's served? It's not Tomat the Avodah Zarah, it's Tomat the Kalim. That says the Gemara, Amakra, the pasuk says before that, it says in the pasuk before, it says, Abe ta abdu nes kol hamakaymis, you should destroy all the places, Asha abdu sham hagoyim, which the nations over there served. And the pasuk continues, Asha atim yoshim oisim eselihayim, which you're going to get rid of their gods. Now, makish elihayim lekalim. So the pasuk is comparing and equating, because the pasuk right after talks about kalim. Pasuk right before talks about Eloiheim. So there's a comparison between their gods, the Avodah Zarah, and the utensils that serve the Avodah Zarah. Because although, again, it doesn't say Kalim over there, it talks about Makaymais, places, which we said it can't mean places, which we explained it means Kalim. And it teaches you the following halacha. Ma Kalim Achi Avdu, just like regarding their vessels, it says there in the pasuk, as we darshan, Asher Avdu Sham, it's only also once it's served. Afeleiheim Nami, Asher Avdu, also their Avodah Zarah itself, of the Gayim, is only also once it's served. Now, but the Gemara tells you, Rabbi Kiva, delay makish, Rabbi Kiva, who does not make this heckish comparison between the Avodah Zarah itself and the Kalim, although he does hold, as we'll see later on, by the Kalim, he agrees, because the Pasuk is saying clearly, Mekaymus doesn't mean Kaymus, it means Kalim, and it says only Asher Avdu when it's served, but he does not make that comparison to the Pasuk before regarding the Avodah Zarah itself, because Amalach, he would tell you, S, Hifsika in, the word S separates between the places, which it says after that, which means the Kalim, and because Rosh doesn't say the word S, just make it one continuous. The word S is a separation to say, well, Kalim is only also once it's served, but the Avodah Zarah itself is also once it's made. So the Gemara continues explaining the first of the two opinions of the Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel. So Ashkechan Avodas Kechavim Shal Eved Kechavim. So yeah, we have a source as we just explained regarding the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, the Ina Sura Achati Avod, where it's only us who wants it served, because again the Pasuk Tumat Kalim and the Hekish compares it to Avodah Zarah itself, and it's only Asha Avdu Shem wants it served. The Yisrael Das Sura Miyad Menale, but where does he know that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes forbidden right away? So the Gemara Svaru, it's logical. From the fact that we have to teach you in the Pasuk that only the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, the Pasuk is pointing out, is also only once it's served. The Yisrael, Asur Mayat. So the inference would be, but that of the Jew is us right away. And that is the Gemara. How do you know that? Even the Yisrael, Klal, Klal, Valoi. Maybe I could tell you that, no, maybe, yeah, the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew becomes forbidden when it's served. And the Avodah Zarah of a Jew never becomes forbidden. How do you know it's forbidden right when it's made? So the Gemara, you can't say that. If you need to go ahead and bury and hide the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, which as the Gemara is going to learn that later, according to everyone from Besam Basasar, you have to go ahead and conceal it and hide it. There's actually nothing, there's no nullification you could do for it. It's Surei Le Mitzvah, you can tell me it doesn't become forbidden. The whole reason why you have to hide it is not only is it forbidden, but it's actually not even bittul, can't even nullify it, in contrast to the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew. So obviously it becomes Asar, so I could say that would be the exclusion of the contrast between the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew and that of a Jew, that the Jew doesn't become forbidden. Obviously it does. But that the Gemara asks now, but in contrast to it, the Gemara's assumption before, but maybe say that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is the same as a non-Jew, although the Pasuk points out by non-Jews Avodah Zarah, but maybe the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is the same thing, that it's only us when it's served. How does he know that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes forbidden right when it's made? That says the Gemara, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Veschataschem asher asisim es eagle, and your sin, which you, the Jewish people, made the golden calf. What do the words over there say? Asher asisim es eagle, which is Meshas asiyah kam lebechet, that the sin of the Avodah Zarah was when they just made the golden calf, even before it was served. Well, that says the Gemara, Eima hanemilu lemekim gavre bechet. Yeah, maybe that only tells us that the Jew who makes the Avodah Zarah is considered a sinner when he makes it, but it's Sur LeMitzvah, but maybe it doesn't become forbidden yet as an idol until it's actually served. And that's the no, because Amakra, there's a pasuk in the Varm that says, Ar ha'ish ha'shayasa pesla masecha, cursed is the man who makes a carved or graven image, a molten image, meaning that of an idol. Which you see, Mishas asiyah kam lebar, that the curse is already for the moment when it's just made, even before it's served. That says, but here also the same question. Maybe this pasuk is only saying that a man who makes it, not only is he a sinner, but yeah, he's even going to have the curse of doing this when he makes it, but it's surah lemitzvah, maybe it's not forbidden yet. Maybe it only becomes forbidden once it's actually served. There's gavra chevtze, there's the object and the subject. There's the one who's doing it may be right when he makes it, but maybe the object only becomes forbidden when it actually gets served. Says the Gemara, no, because Toyavas Hashem Ksev. There in the Pasig, when it talks about the Aror for the one who makes it, it calls the idol the abomination of Hashem. So we see it's already considered an Avodah Zarah when it's already made, and even not when it's served yet. So we see the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes forbidden right when it's made. Now, Rabbi Kiva, who he says that regarding the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, it's only forbidden once it's served, he holds the exact opposite of Rabbi Shmuel. So this, although it calls from the making of the Avodah Zarah, it already calls it Tayavas Hashem, and that explains the Gemara, not that it becomes forbidden right when it's made. Rather, this is what the Pasuk is saying, that the one who makes the Avodah Zarah at that point already becomes Ur. Why? So that's what the Pasuk is explaining, because his making of the idol will bring to it being an abomination, because it will be served. Davar HaMeviya L'Dei Tayeva. That's what the Gemara is saying. Rekiva would learn the Pasuk, that because it's something that will bring to it being abomination when it's served, but it doesn't become forbidden. The guy's a sinner and he gets cursed when he makes it, but it only becomes a te'eva when it's actually served. So the Gemara finished explaining the sources for Rabbi Shmuel, both for the Jewish becoming forbidden right away and the non-Jew only when it's served. Now the Gemara goes to the second opinion, that of our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, Avodas Kechavim Shal Eved Kechavim, the Asur Miyad, this study holds that the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, opposite of Rabbi Shmuel, becomes forbidden right away, Menolai, where does he know this from? That says the Gemara, Ama'ulu. Ula says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Nevarim, Psile Eloiheim Tisrafun Be'esh. The graven deity images that they make, you should burn in the fire. What does this teach us? Mishapaslu, that's the word Psile Eloiheim, sounds like Mishapaslu, from when they carve it out, Nasu Eloiha, it already becomes Avodah Zarah. So you see, right when it's made, it's Avodah Zarah. But Vidach Rabbi Shmuel would tell you, now that pasuk actually needed to teach a different teaching, that which Rabbi Yisrael taught a brisa. The Tanya Rabbi Yisrael taught the brisa that says, "Minayin la'evik kachavim shepoisel eloi hoy." A different interpretation of the word puzzle. Puzzle can mean to carve out. It also means to invalidate, like we use puzzle. How do we know that a non-Jew could invalidate? He can be mevatel his idol. Shenemak says in the pasuk, "Psili eloi hey im tizefun be'esh." That we see that their gods, their avodah zarah, they could puzzle, they could invalidate it, and that which has to be burnt in the fire, which actually the Netziv brings down and say for Devarim, he wants to be magia and edit and say that the pasuk that's quoted over here should not be psili elihem tizefun be'esh, but rather psili elihem tigadeyun. Because according to our girso, why would you burn it? We're talking about that psili elihem is that they're invalidating their avodah zarah, and actually then it doesn't have to be burnt. Rather, one should expound this pasuk that once they invalidate it from being an avodah zarah and the Jew wants to use it and it's permitted to have anah, then at least tigadeh, and then at least chop down part of it that it shouldn't maintain the image of the avodah zarah that it was up until now, but then it would be permitted to use. Well, either way, is that we see psil eliyahem that they could go ahead and invalidate their avodah zarah, but it's not saying that from when they do but the pasalil, when they already grave it, that then it becomes avodah zarah. No, like Rabbi Shmuel would say, it's only usr once it gets served. Now, Idach, with the other opinion, the meaning that Rabbi Kiva, Nafkalim and Shmuel, he learns out this halacha that Rabbi Shmuel is learning out from the pasuk that he needs to show that it's also from right when it's made, which is that a non-Jew could invalidate his avodah zarah. He learns it from a different source, from Shmuel. The Shmuel Rami, Shmuel posed the following contradiction. Save on the one hand, the pasuk says, Leisach mit kesev azav aleim. You should not desire the gold and silver that's on the avodah zarah, meaning it's forbidden to you. Uksiv, yet the pasuk says afterwards, both of these are in the same pasuk, it says, v'kachtalach, that you should take it for yourself. So haketzah, how do you resolve it? Is it forbidden or can you take it? So then the difference is as follows. Paslu le'laha, if it's being carved out for the avodah zarah, meaning it's beautifying the avodah zarah, then le'sachman, then do not desire it. Paslu me'laha, but if you're invalidating it from an avodah zarah, meaning it's been mevatla, here it means the word of pasulus of invalidation, then you could take it for you. In other words, when it says in the pasuk psile, in the beginning of the pasuk, it actually has two different connotations. And it's being expounded both on the element in the pasuk that makes it forbidden, which is lois achman, and then on that which is permitted, which is lekachtalach. Meaning, if you're carving it out for the purposes of a dessert, then it's forbidden. But if you're actually being mevatlet, if you're being pasling it, then it's actually going to be permitted. So that's his source for teaching. Yeah, the pasuk is telling you that it's usr right away from psil eliyahem, but it also teaches the other halacha, which Rabbi Shmuel was learning out, which is that the non-Jew could be mevatlet psil me'eloha, invalidating from an avodah zarah. So the Gemara continues and says, okay, Rabbi Kiva, ashkechan avodas kachavim shel evi kachavim d'sur miyat. So we have already half of the one out of the two halachas that we know that the avodah zarah, a non-Jew, becomes forbidden right away. But the Yisrael at Shetiyavim Elam, where does he know that the Jewish avodah zarah only becomes forbidden when it's served? So Amar Yehuda, he says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Devarim, when the pasuk there in the beginning says, in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk says, Vav, it says, cursed is the man who is going to make a pestle, a masecha, a graven image, it's an abomination of Hashem, it's the handiwork of a carpenter, v'sam basasra, and it's placed in hiding. What does that mean? Only when hidden things are done with the idol, meaning that it's served. Because generally a Jew is going to serve it in hiding so that the court doesn't hear and stone him because he's doing avodah zarah. That's when it becomes a pesel masecha, where you see that the Jewish avodah zarah is only aser once it's served. But v'idach Rabbi Shmuel, he would tell you, no, ahu mibaylik Rabbi Yitzchak. These words in the pasuk are necessary to teach a different halacha, that of Rabbi Yitzchak. Then Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, "Menayin l'avodas kacham shel Yisrael, we do know that an avodah zarah of a Jew, she'tu'una geniza, that it needs to be hidden, to be concealed, to be buried. When it's whole, that's what you do with it, you bury in the ground. How do you know that? Meaning, unlike the avodah zarah of a non-Jew, which we said that you could be mevatel. Shlomek says in the pasuk, v'sam basaser, that you should put it in hiding, you got to bury it, there's nothing you could do to nullify it, to permit it. But Veidach, Rabbi Kiva, Nafke Leim and Rav Chizim Rav, he learns that same halacha that the Jewish avodah zarah, there's no bittul that helps, has to be hidden away. He learns it out from Rav Chizim Rav. Rav Chizim Rav, he says, "Menayin l'avodas kachavim shel Yisrael, shetu u'negeniza." This halacha, how do you know that the avodah zarah of a Jew has to be buried? Shnemalik, it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, "Leisita locha asheri." You should not plant for yourself an asher, which is an avodah zarah tree. Kol eitz, eitzel mizbach, any tree which is near the altar. Now, what does the Asherah tree have to do with the Mizbeach? Teaches you, Ma Mizbeach tu neganiza, just like the Mizbeach has to be buried because it's forbidden to have benefit from it. It's that of Hektish. And if it's not intact anymore, you can't use it. You have to bury it. Af Asherah tu neganiza, it's also teaching that the Asherah tree that a Jew makes has to be buried where you can't, there's no bittul that applies to it. But Ve'idach Rabbi Shmuel, Hahumi Balik Dir Shlokish. He already learns that from somewhere else. So what does he learn with this Hekish, comparing the Asherah to the Mizbeach? For a different teaching, that of Rish Lakish. Now Rish Lakish, he says, whoever appoints a judge that's not appropriate, it's like as if he planted an Asheri tree, not very desert tree in the Jewish people. Shlomo says, the Pasuk in Devarim, judges and enforcers you should place for you in all your gates. So it talks about the appointment of judges. V'samachlein, it says, near there, you should not plant for yourself an Asheri tree any wood. So you see that That's the warning, that make sure you don't do an Asherah, because if you appoint a judge that's not appropriate, it's like planting an Asherah tree. And moreover, Amar Vashi says, and if one appoints an inappropriate judge in a place where there are Talmudic scholars to have been appointed, it's like as if not only did you plant an Asherah tree, but like as if you planted it right near the altar, which that's really disgraceful. Shnemach says there in the Pasuk, Eitzel Mizbach, near the Mizbeach. Which that's referring to the Talmid HaChachamim, meaning just like we're comparing the inappropriate judge to an Asherah tree, so the opposite, the positive, the Mizbeach, would also be a metaphor for a person, and that would be the Talmid HaChacham. So the Gemara concluded the discussion showing the sources for both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva in their opposite Machlikas, and which is one of those two opinions, the opinion of the Tanna of a Mishnah, which is Rabbi Kiva, regarding if the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew and that of a Jew, if it becomes also right away, only when it's served. Now the Gemara continues a related discussion by Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna asked the following question. Risech kli lavidis kechav mahu. Like we were discussing before regarding the Kalim, we said that was what the Pasuk was, and that's what's going to come back to, that everyone agrees to the drasha of the Kalim, that it's only also once it's served, regarding that of a non-Jew. The question was, Machlekesh Rabbi Kiva and Yerushalmi, do you make the Hekesh, do you say S is Hefsik or not, regarding the same thing applying to the Avodah Zarah of the non-Jew. So continuing on the element of the of a vessel of Avodah Zarah, Rav Nuna asks, what's if someone solders, he fixes a vessel for the purposes of Avodah Zarah? Where there was a vessel that broke, and he bangs it with his hammer and with his anvil until he smooths it out, and he stretches it out, and they fix it, now the hole is fixed. What's the halacha? So first the Gemara asks, Avodah Kecham Deman, whose Avodah Zarah are you talking about? Ilem Avodah Kecham De'ev Kecham, if you're talking about an Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, well, then, Bein Rabbi Shmuel Ben Rabbi Kiva, and this is how it relates back to the previous Gemara's discussion, and the previous Braisa, according to both of them, Misham Shevetz Kechavme. So what is this vessel called? It's considered the utensils, the utilities of an Avodah Zarah. Misham Shevetz Kechavim Ein Asur Net Sheyavdu. The utility of an Avodah Zarah is only Asur once it's served. Because Misham Shevetz Kechavim of an Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is only Asur once it's served. Like we said in the previous daf, that you would think that it's usher when it's brought if it wasn't served yet. That the Bryce had said, no, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Avdu. And even Rabbi Kiva, all he disagrees about is regarding the Avodah Zarah itself, which, like we said, he doesn't make the Hekesh. But regarding the Kalim, that he doesn't disagree about because it says, Mekayim Esahim, which we said doesn't mean Mekayim Esahim means Kalim, and it says in the Pasuk, Asher Avdu Shem Agrem, it's only once it's served. So what would be the question? Of course it's only going to be usher once it's served. So even though this guy fixed the Kli, it's not Avodah Zarah yet. So Be'ela rather, Avodah Kechavim Yisrael. The question would be regarding it's a Jew's Avodah Zarah. So then the question is a libid amount. So according to which of the two Tanoic opinions we just mentioned is this question going like? Ilema libid Rabbi Kiva, if he's going like Rabbi Kiva, well, hashtahi gufa le mitzvah to evet. If the Avodah Zarah itself, we just finished saying according to Rabbi Kiva, who's a Tana of a Mishnah, that the Avodah Zarah Jew does not become us until it's served. So Misham Shem Mebaya, do you have any question regarding the secondary items, the utensils, that for sure it's not going to be us, so it's not more severe than the Avodah Zarah itself until it's served. So Ella rather explains the Gemara, Alibid Rabbi Shmuel. His question was according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Sur Miyad, he says the Avodah Zarah Jew becomes forbidden right away. My, what's the halacha? And what's the question? Mishamshin, do we say the utensils of a Jew? Mimishamshin, from the utensils of an Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, Gamrinon, we would learn out and we would say that it would not be forbidden until you actually use it for Avodah Zarah. Where Ma Hasamat Shiyabdu, just like the utensils of an Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is only usher once it's served, as we just pointed out before. Avhachat Shiyabdu, here also by the utensils of a Jew's Avodah Zarah, it's only usher once it's served. Aydilma minogam, or maybe you learned it out from it itself. Meaning, mahi astru miyad, just like davay deserve, a Jew becomes forbidden right away, according to Bishmal. Af meshem sheh astru miyad, maybe also its utensils also become forbidden right away. That asked the Gemara, if that was Rav Nuna's question, then my iriyah dekomi bayli risach kli, then why is he phrasing his question only in when one fixes, solders a broken vessel? Tiboyle asay, he should have asked this question in the initial making. If someone makes a utensil for the purposes of a Avodah Zarah, what's the halacha? Do we say it's asur right away, just like the Avodah Zarah itself of the Jew according to Rabbi Shmuel, or only once it's served, like the utensils of an Avodah Zarah, of a non-Jew? Why say it in the way of fixing? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Rav Amnuna, his question was something else. Mishum tuma yishana kami bayle. His question was regarding the halacha known as an old tuma, which is not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah says kli matzchis regarding metal utensils. The halacha is pshutein umakablein tamein. Whether if they're flat or whether they have a receptacle, unlike some other kelim, they become tummy in whatever shape it is. Now nishtabru taru. If it breaks, that is a purification of the tuma. B'chazer b'son kelim. If one goes back now and remakes a keli out of this thing, the halacha is yachzru l'tuma yishana. It goes back and regains its old tumah that it had before it was broken. And therefore, one would have to immerse it again. Now, the reason for this is the immersive Masechet Shabbos Daf Tzayin and Beis is a gzera. It's a rabbinic decree that people might say, hey, wait a second, a few hours later, this thing became tumah. I see a few hours later, they're using it for hataharis again. Must be that if you immerse something, even though it didn't have nightfall, it's tar. Now, that's not the case. You do have to wait for nightfall. The only reason why they're using it a few hours later is because they just refixed it, they soldered it, they did whatever it took. So to prevent that confusion, they said if someone's going to break it and then fix it again, it's going to regain its old tumah. You got to tevel and wait for sundown the way a regular kli is. Now, that's the halacha, and regarding that halacha, the halacha coming by late. This was Rav Nuna's question regarding a vessel that was utilized in the service of Avodah Zarah, which the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, that the Mishamashah are tamein, the utensils in regards to Avodah Zarah, get a halacha of tumah. Now, either they broke it on purpose or it broke for the purposes of purifying it. Because when you break something, we said a metal kli that breaks, it's tar. But then that's where Rav Nuna's question begins. And then they went and soldered and fixed it for the purposes of using it for Avodah Zarah again, but it wasn't yet served yet. Question is, do we say the same halacha that it's hadr l'tumah kamaisa, that it's chaz l'tumah yishan, that goes back to its original tumah that it had of being an Avodah Zarah, of Mesham Shah Avodah Zarah, before it broke? What's the question? As the Gemara explains, ki hadr tumah, when do we say tumah comes back? Hanamili, when did we say that it goes back to tumah yishan? That's l'tumah dairaisa. That's for biblical tumah. When something, when the sheretz or whatever it is, that a mess touches a metal kli, that's biblical tumah. And therefore, that's where the rabbis made a decree that, okay, so people are going to get confused and think it's tar, even though it was immersed without sundown, so it goes back to its old tumah when it's fixed again. Avo tumah, but regarding a tumah of a desire, d'rabbanon, which is rabbinic, because although we bring psukim, that's really only an asmach d'mam, it's an illusion. But really, biblically, there's no tumah of an avay desire. Maybe they're a lie. Maybe we don't say the rabbinic decree of being chayzul tumah yeshana. Demolish, no, maybe there's no difference, and maybe we say that no, it goes back to its old tumah. That was his question. But on that, that's the Gemara, but if that's his question, then he should have asked his questions in any other rabbinic tumah. For example, let's say a vessel that becomes tumah from a liquid, which is tummy, which biblically a kli cannot become tummy from a liquid, because a kli has to become from an avatumah. Now, the rabbis made a decree that they said it will be susceptible to tumah of a liquid because of a concern that it might be a liquid of a zava or a zava, which is a certain male or female that have certain emissions that come out of them that are tummy. For example, let's say they're spittle or their urine, which that is an ava tumah, which could be metamically. So because of that, they said every liquid would be metamically. But that's rabbinic tumah. So essentially, your question is, you want to know if tumah yishan is only for the rice or even drabbanon. So then why ask it by the dessert? Ask it in every tumah drabbanon. And this is where, yeah. This is one question from another question that Rav Nun was asking. In other words, his question was regarding all other tumas of that are rabbinic. Why do you pick Avodah Zarah? Because there was another question that even if we answer that question, you'll still have the question regarding Avodah Zarah. And that is, first his question was, you're right, tumah d'rabbanan, mi hadra ay lo hadra. That was his first question. Do we say it only by biblical tumah? Or do we say even by rabbinic tumah? On that, Rav Amnon's question was an imtim tzolim, and if you say regarding all other rabbinic tumas, then loy hadra, no, it doesn't go back. It's only by biblical tuma. Rabbinic, not. His question was still, however, over here, what would the halacha be? Tumah d'avodas kachavim, regarding that avodas zarah, or a utensil that's used in the service of avodas zarah, that we consider that tumah, even though that's rabbinic, but mishum churma d'avodas kachavim, because of the severity of avodas zarah, mishavyu rabbanan k'tuma d'raisa, did the rabbis equate it as a biblical tumah, and therefore it would be chayzel tamishana? Oilai, or maybe not. That was his question on that. So the Gemara, take a let it stand, that question is not answered. Now the Gemara continues a related discussion regarding the tumah of avodas zarah. Regarding the sacrifices of an avodah zarah, shel oichlam, of foodstuff. Now, what's the halacha? Could the tumma, as we said regarding items of avodah zarah that has tumma, could that be removed or not? What is the question? So the Gemara explains, mi mahanyu luhu bitl letarina mitumma. Does a nullification process work regarding the tikravis of avodah zarah to purify it from its tumma? Allah, or maybe not. Now, first the Gemara asks on the question, why didn't he ask his question regarding the utensils, the vessels that are used in the service of avodah zarah? Where you could ask, does the tumah get removed or not? Just like we know that when you mevatel it, the iser, which is the iser hanah, the prohibition of having benefit, that gets removed. So then you could ask the question regarding kalim too, but is the tumah also removed? That's the Gemara. No, kalim lo kimi bayla. He didn't have a question regarding the vessels. Kiven de islu tahara, since there is a purification, like other tumas, b'mikvah, by immersing it in the mikvah. Now, here also, although the purification of the avodah zarah kalim is not by immersing in the mikvah, its mikvah, so to speak, is bittel, by nullifying it. So, but at least once that we know that you could purify it, in other words, by removing the iser, so tumanami b'telu. Of course we would know that the bittel of the kli would also remove its tumah. His whole question was regarding foodstuff, where there is no purification like other tumas in the mikvah. Meaning, other tumas you could purify in the mikvah. So there's a way to rectify it. So here also, kli is also something that regarding all other tumas, you could purify it in the mikvah. Regarding food items, you can purify it in the mikvah. So although here, actually, regarding avodah zarah, you don't actually put it into the mikvah, you actually do bittel, which removes the iser, so of course it would remove the tumah. Regarding foodstuff that you could usually never purify it by putting in the mikvah. So the question is, but does it help to go ahead and do bittel, at least to remove the tumah, just like bittel helps regarding removing the tumah of the kalim? On that is the Gemara, but Tibayi Levodis Kecham Gufa. Why didn't he ask this question regarding the avodah zarah itself? Meaning, if the avodah zarah was foodstuff, for example, let's say someone bowed down to a piece of bread. So then he should have asked, well, could you remove the tumah by bittel, by nullifying the idol? Or not? Unless it's Gemara, no. Avodas Chacham Gufa Lemi Bayil. He didn't have a question regarding the avodah zarah itself as we continue to Amud Beis. Why? Kiven the Isser Rebuttal, since the Isser of the avodah zarah could be nullified, we say there is Bitl in the avodah zarah. So we know Tumanama Betela. We know that its Tumah also gets removed. Kikumi Bayil, Tikrebus Lavodas Chacham Shal Eichon. Our whole question was regarding the sacrifices of foodstuff that are brought in the service of the avodah zarah. My, what's the halacha? What's the question? Kiven the Isser Loy Batel, since you cannot remove the Isser Hana of the Tikravis of avodah zarah, could Rav Gidl, like we said earlier in the Parak on Daf Nun, that Rav Gidl said the Isser remains forever on Tikravis, more than avodah zarah itself. So maybe Tumah Nami Loy Betelus, and maybe also the Tumah also will not be nullified, because like we said, since there's no Tahara in the Mikvah, like other Tumas regarding foodstuff, so you can't say over here that just like other Tumas, here also it'll be removed. And moreover, you don't have the svara of saying regarding the iser. So both elements, you're at a fault regarding food items. You can't say it should be the same as other tumas, because other tumas actually, you cannot immerse food items in the mikvah. And moreover, you can't say, well, oh, if you remove the iser, so the tumah will also be removed, because the iser is not removed. Or maybe no. Iser deraisa lebatel, a biblical prohibition, that is not nullified. But tumah drabanan batel, so although, yeah, the iser cannot be removed, but maybe the tumah, which only rabbinic could be removed through the bittel, and that says the Gemara, take it, let it stand. That was the question that's not answered. Later discussion, the Gemara says, "Bayimene Reb Yisi ben Shaul Mirabi." Says Kalim, continuing on regarding the prohibition of vessels, Kalim sheshimshu behen bebeis chaynav, regarding the vessels that were utilized in the service of the house of Chanyai, ma'u sheyishtamashu behen bebeis hamikdash. What's the halacha? Can use those utensils in the service of the Beis Hamikdash? Now, the Gemara explains that in the last sugya, Masechtas Menachos, that Chanya was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, who fled to Mitzrayim because of the dispute he had with his brother, and he built over there a Mizbeach, and like a replica of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara there disagrees. There is an opinion that says that with the service that they did over there in Mitzrayim was for Avodah Zarah purposes, and there is an opinion that says, no, it was L'Shem Shemayim. They were serving Hashem there, like to try to make their own Beis HaMikdash in Mitzrayim in Egypt. Now, Vekami Bayle, and the question that we're asking over here was, meaning for Rabbi Yisrael ben Shal, was a Libi Demandam, according to the opinion that says, Beis Chanye, La Beis Avodah Zarah, that he was not a house of idol worship. Because according to the one who holds that Beis Chanye was a house of idol worship, then there wouldn't be any question at all. Because if those utensils are forbidden even for a regular person, as the Gemara said in the previous daf, that regarding Kalim that were Nishtamish of Avodah Zarah, that it's forbidden for a Hedyot, for sure it's going to be Aster for the purposes of Gevaya, for Hashem, for Hekdash. The question is regarding the one who holds that it was not Avodah Zarah. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that says, in this opinion, as we're going to prove in a moment, that certain things do become Aster, even though it was made L'Shem Shemayim. The question is, do we also say the same thing regarding the Kalim? The Mishnah says in Menachos, Kohanim Sheshim Shem Beis Chanya, regarding the priest, the Kohanim, that served in Beis Chanya in Egypt, the Halacha is Lo Yisham Shem B'Mikdash Yerushalayim. They're not allowed to serve anymore in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. We don't have to say if what they served was for something else. Meaning, for Kahanim that served for Avodah Zarah, we don't have to say that they for sure can't go ahead and serve anymore in the Beis HaMikdash. Like a pasuk says in Yecheskel, Yana Sheyeshorsu Oisim Lefnei Gulayim, since they served in front of their Avodah Zarah, which it says after that, Lo Yigashir Lai Lekayin LaHashem, says they for sure can't serve in front of me. But from the fact that it says that we don't have to say if it was L'davar Achar, that if they serve Avodah Zarah, for sure they can't. The inference is, but what they did in Beis Chanye was not Davrach, was not Avodah Zarah, meaning they were doing it L'Shem Shemayim. Even so, it says over there that Kahanim are Aser, because it still was inappropriate. Now let's make your own Bama, even for Hashem, out of the Beis HaMikdash. And that Rabbi Yossi's question is, but what's the halacha regarding the Kalim that we use over there? As the Gemara explains the question. Kahanim who dekansin rabbana, maybe only the priests themselves, the rabbis, penalized from now going and doing the service in Beis HaMikdash, since they have intellect and they have logic. And they know that you're not allowed to build your own private altar, even if you're doing it for the purposes of Hashem. And they went and they served in Abama, so the rabbis penalized them, you can't go ahead and serve anyone in Beis HaMikdash. But maybe regarding the vessels, they didn't penalize, because what did the vessels do wrong? No, maybe there's no difference. No, whatever was used in Beis Chanye, which was inappropriate, cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So Amaleis, the Rebbe answered Rebbe Yisrael ben Shaul, Asurim Hein, the vessels that were used there are forbidden also. And says Rebbe, we had a pasuk in our hands regarding Avodah Zarah, where even though biblically we were able to say that the vessels would be permitted, but still we find that the rabbis penalized it, even though, and this is the primary point, even though the kalim are not b'nei day in Ninu, still the rabbis made a penalty. So says Rabbi, here also we could say that even though Beis Chanye was not a house of Avodah Zarah, and biblically it's not forbidden, but just like the rabbis penalized the kanim, they would also penalize the kalim, because we find that they don't care, they don't differentiate because it's not b'nei day. And then, as we had a pasuk regarding Avodah Zarah, that really biblically it's permitted, but the rabbis penalized the kalim, even though they're not b'nei day. Here also we would say that, but v'shachanuho, but we forgot the pasuk. But I know that it's awesome. On that, Rabbi Yisrael ben Shaul asked, Esavei asked to him from a pasuk in Divrei Yamin Beis, where the kahanim in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech were telling him that kol ha-kelim, all the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, asher hizniach ha-melech Achaz b'machusai, which is the father, the wicked king Achaz had forsaken in his kingdom, b'ma'aloi, when he misappropriated the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. So the kahanim told him, heichanu v'hikdashnu. We prepared it, and we sanctified it, we took care of it, we fixed everything up. Says Yesi ben Shal to Rabbi, my love, isn't what the pasuk saying, that what were they telling to Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Hechanu, what does it mean we prepared it? Dat filinu, that first we went and we immersed the kalim that he had used of the Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah, we immersed it that it should have purified from the tumah of Avodah Zarah. Hikdashnu, and then we say when we sanctified it, means Dakta Sheninu, that we went and we sanctified it now, meaning now that we immersed it, so it took away the tumah, we went back and we anointed it with the Shemen HaMeshcha, with the anointing oil. So you see that even though biblically the kalim do not become aser because they're hektish, and the halacha is in odem oisei davar she'en shloi, a person cannot make something that's not his forbidden. Achaz, the wicked king, cannot have made the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash aser by using Avodah Zarah, because it's not his, it's owned by Hashem. So you see that so too the rabbis did not go ahead and make a decree on it and make it in spite of that aser. Because since biblically it's mutter, it rabbinically also is mutter. And why would we say that? Since the kelim are not b'nei day, and they didn't penalize it, and therefore they were able to use those kelim, even though it was used for avodah zarah, for the purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. They just purified it and used it back. So you see, not like what you're saying, Rabbi, that you said even in Beis Chanyoy, they rabbinically they said you're not allowed to use it. Here you see, even if avodah zarah was used, and rabbinically they did allow it. So Amalei, Rabbi said to Rabbi Simin Shaul, Baruch atah l'Hashemayim, blessed are you to heaven, that actually you're supporting me. Shechazarti li'avodasi, you returned to me my lost item, which this is the pasuk that I'd forgotten about. Because the pasuk has to be interpreted in the opposite of what you're saying. When it says heichana, we prepared it, means sheganzum, that we hid it. Vikdashnu, when it says that we sanctified, means shekdashnu acherim, tachtem, we sanctified other vessels in place of those original ones. But the original ones, the rabbis did penalize and actually buried it, which is actually like Rebbe's opinion and not like Rabbi Yisrael Mishal was asking. Says the Gemara, Le'misayeli. Let's say the following Mishnah Masechtas Midos supports Rebbe's answer, which the Mishnah there is talking about regarding the utility of four different chambers which were in the one of the corners of the courtyard of by the Beis HaMaikid, which is the house of where they had the fire over there to warm themselves up, and which is Masechtas Midos in Perek Alf Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah says over there that Mizrachis Safinus, the northeastern part of that Beis HaMaikid, but there was a chamber over there. Ba Gunzu Beis Chashmonoyis Avne Mizbech Shashiktu Anja Yavin. That's where the household of the Chashmonoyim he hid and concealed the stones of the Mizbeach, which the Greeks had destroyed. Now, Vam Rav Sheshes, he says, what do you mean Sheshiktsu, that they had abominated? Sheshiktsu Lavetz Kechavim, because they had defiled it by using it for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. So what do you see, says the Gemara? Obviously we see that even though for a commoner that doesn't make it aser, why wouldn't it make it aser that the Greeks had used the stones of the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah? Because like we know, Ein Odom Eisid Dav Shein Ishloi. A person, in this case the Greeks, cannot make something which is not theirs forbidden, which this is Hashem's, the Hekdash, owned by the Beis HaMikdash. The Greek cannot make it aser. Still, the rabbis made a decree that it cannot be utilized for Hashem, for the Mizbeach. Even though, what are the stones? They're not B'nai Day, and they didn't do anything intentionally. They have none of their own intellect. So therefore, says the Gemara, this supports Rabbi, the Beis Chanyeh also. Even though it was not a house of idol worship, and biblically the kelim do not become aser, but the rabbis would go ahead and make a decree and say that it's forbidden, which is like how Rebbe said. Now that says the Gemara, no support for Rebbe, because Amar Papi says, Hasam over there regarding the Avne Mizbeach that the Chashmonoyim had hidden away, Hasam kru ashkach v'darsh, they found the pasuk and they expounded that actually what the Greeks did to the stones of Mizbeach actually makes it biblically prohibited, even for a regular person. So therefore, there's no support for Rebbe that it was Rabbanu who made it Gzeri, even though it's not B'nai Day. No, biblically it's forbidden. Why? Because the Chassid of the Pasuk says, Nicheskel ubo bo pritzim v'chilalu, that the unlawful people came and they desecrated it. What does that mean? And once the non-Jews, the Greeks, came into the Heichal, into the sanctuary, then the vessels get removed from its sanctity and it becomes unconsecrated. That's what you see. The pritzim come, and chilalu becomes chulin, becomes unconsecrated. Now, once it's not owned by Hashem anymore, because Hashem releases his acquisition of that, so now the non-Jews, in this case the Greeks, could acquire it from Hefker. It's not owned anymore. So it becomes theirs. So therefore, when they actually used the stones in the Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah, it did become forbidden because it was theirs already. Amri, the Chashmonoyim, said when they went and they conquered and they won over the Greeks, they said, Heichanavid, what should we do now? Nisferinu, should we go ahead and now break the stones of the Mizbeach through a non-Jew, which that would be Mavatal there Avodah Zarah, because they had acquired it. As we said, it's not that it was biblically permitted because Einod Moise Davish and Ishloi. No, it actually was theirs because they acquired it. So now that they defiled and they used the Avodah Zarah, so the Chashmonoyim says, what can we do with these stones now anymore? Should we break it through a non-Jew to Mavatal, which a non-Jew can Mavatal Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew? But Avanim Shleimus, Amrachman, the Torah says that the only stones you can use for the Mizbeach are complete stones that have no nicks in them. Even if, let's say, a knife cut a little hole like the size, like the, what a fingernail would feel, it becomes invalid, as the Gemara says, so we can't use these broken stones. And if you're going to say, Ninasrinu, so let us shape it. Let us go ahead and whittle it away. After the non-Jew breaks it, we'll smooth out the kinks. But you can't do that either. Leitonef aleim bars l'marchman. The Torah says you're not allowed to lift up any metal onto the stones of the Mizbeach. And if we're going to be shaping it away to make it smooth, that itself is forbidden. And therefore, they had no utility for it. And therefore, they went and they hid it away. But again, no support for Rebbe, because actually biblically forbidden, even for a commoner, because it was a avodah zarah of a non-Jew. But that asks the Gemara b'Avamai, why do they have to hide it away? Litferinu. Let them have a non-Jew break the stones which were broken off the Mizbeach that was worshipped by the Greeks, to be mevatlet from its status as avodah zarah. And then, v'lishlukinu l'nafshayu, then let them use it and take it for themselves, because like you said, it's chulin. Because the pasuk says, v'ol pa pritza mechalalu, it's not owned by hekdesh anymore, it's no me'ila, it was owned by non-Jews. So it's their avodah zarah, and avodah zarah of a non-Jew could be batal. Mila, Amr Rav Yishai, didn't Rav Yishai say a similar type of a situation that people took it for themselves? Bikshu lignes kol kesef v'zav sheba olam. The rabbis wanted to hide all the gold and silver in the world. Why? B'shem kaspa v'dahava shel Yerushalayim, because of the gold and the silver of Yerushalayim, which when it was plundered by the enemies, the majority of the gold and silver in Yerushalayim was hekdesh. The Beis Hamikdash had a lot of assets. And therefore, they wanted to say all the gold and silver in the world is going to be forbidden because maybe it's that of hekdesh and one is committing me'ilah. And Vavin, but we had asked regarding that, Yerushalayim have Yeruba de Alma. What it means, Yerushalayim, the majority of the world? We go after the laws of majority. The majority of the gold and silver in the world is not from Yerushalayim. Why should we say all the gold and silver is forbidden? Elohim Abaye, rather Abaye explained, no, Bikshu lignes dinara hadriyana tariyana. They don't want to conceal and forbid all the gold and silver in the world. Rather, the coins that were minted of Hadrian and Turiana, which these were Jerusalem coins, which they were called Tiraina and Hadriana, which was the Roman kings who the image of them was made on them. So they were called the Dinar of Turianus and Adarianus, which were Shaipa, which were very old, and they were rubbed out because they were so old and it wasn't recognizable, the image. So you couldn't tell what this coin was. They wanted to make it forbidden, and they tiva shal Yerushalayim because of the coins of Yerushalayim. Because you can't tell where is this. We know that it's from Jerusalem, so it's not from the majority of the world. But we don't know, is it from what was plundered from the Beis HaMikdash, which is forbidden because it's Hekdash, or is it permitted coins? So that makes sense, because that majority you would say would be forbidden. Until they found the pasuk in the Torah that's actually permitted to use it. Why? Because the pasuk says, like we quoted before, Voba pritzim chalalu. All the assets of the Beis HaMikdash become forbidden, can become permitted the moment the enemies, the unlawful ones, come in and they desecrate it. It actually becomes permitted. So even if it's from the Beis HaMikdash, there's no problem. So therefore, people could use the gold and silver, even if it's really coming from the Beis HaMikdash. So then, why didn't the Chashmei Noam use the stones here also for their own purposes, even though it came from the Beis HaMikdash? But it's not hektish anymore. Says the Gemara, Hasam le'ishtam shubahu le'gvaya. There, the gold and silver, even if it was maybe from the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash, so it was owned by Hekdesh, but it gets deconsecrated when the enemies come and take over. And moreover, it was never utilized in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Hacha kibin ishtam shubahu le'gvaya. Since here it was used in the service of Hashem, with the Mizbeach, it was used for Avaydus, lav erich ara l'ishtamu shubahu hedyot. It's not appropriate to use it for a commoner. So even though it gets deconsecrated, it's not anymore owned by Hekdesh, still not appropriate to use the stones in the Mizbeach for a person's his kitchen. It's not appropriate, and therefore that's why they didn't have any utility for it, and therefore they hid it over there. But again, it's not a support for the opinion of Rebbe. But that was Rebbe's answer, where he said that the kalim that were used in Beis Chanyai, he said, are going to be forbidden to be utilized in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's no das. He says, still the rabbis kanas, not only the kahan that served over there, but also the kalim. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on regarding the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we're discussing about the Zarba Jew and the non-Jew. So the Mishnah says, Oyvei kechavim mevatel, a non-Jew could nullify avodas kechavim shalai v'shal chaver. He could nullify his own avodah zarah or even another non-Jew's avodah zarah. V'Yisrael, a Jew, ein mevatel avodas kechavim shal oyvei kechavim. He cannot nullify the avodah zarah of a non-Jew, because the source that we brought in Amud Aleph, that a non-Jew, we said, he's paisel eloi hay. We learned the pasuk that psile eloi hayam, that a non-Jew can nullify his avodah zarah, but we don't have a source that a Jew can mevatel the avodah zarah of a non-Jew. Now, and for sure, a Jew cannot mevatel the avodah zarah of a Jew, because no one can mevatel the avodah zarah of a Jew. That's aser forever, as the pasuk says, v'sam basaser, that has to be hidden away forever. So we're talking about that he cannot nullify even a non-Jew's avodah zarah. Continues the Mishnah. Ha-mevatel avodah kecham, if someone nullifies the idol itself, mevatel meshamshev, that nullifies all the secondary utensils. Bitl meshamshev, someone nullifies only the secondary utensil, so meshamshev, so that kli becomes mutter, but v'hi asur, but avodah zarah still remains asur. Now the Gemara tells us regarding this halacha of our Mishnah that masni le Rebbe le Reb Shimon b'Rebbe. Rebbe taught his son Reb Shimon the halacha of the Mishnah, which was avi kachavim mevatel avodas kachavim shalivish lechaver, that a non-Jew can mevatel his own avodah zarah and his friend's avodah zarah. That Amalei, so his son said to his father, Rabbi, my teacher, Shani Salono Bialdusecha, you taught us when you were younger a different version of this Mishnah. That a non-Jew can mevatel his own Avodah Zarah and the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Now you're teaching us a little bit different. You're not saying Vishal Yisrael, you're saying Vishal Chavera of a fellow non-Jew. But the inference what you're saying is, but a non-Jew cannot mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Now the Gemara asks, the Yisrael Mikom Mevatla? How could that even have been Rebbe's original version? Could a non-Jew mevatel avodah zarah b'Jew? But v'hav v'sam b'seis, except like we taught previously, that it says regarding the avodah zarah b'Jew, that has to be concealed, that it has to be buried, which obviously means that no one could mevatel, even a non-Jew. So on that, Amar Rav Hillel b'Rei de Rav Alis, he explains, le'nitzcha, no. What was Rebbe's version when he was younger was, she'esh li'ba shutfas. We're talking about a case where there was a partnership between the non-Jew and the Jew in the avodah zarah. That when he was younger, he held that the non-Jew could mevatel it. But when he got older, even on that, Rebbe retracted and he says, even though there's a partnership between the Jew and the non-Jew could not mevatel the portion of the Jew in that avodah zarah. So the Gemara asks, "Bialdusa mekasava ubezeknusa mekasava." What did Rebbe hold when he was younger that he held the non-Jew could mevatel it? And what did he hold when he got older, where he held that the non-Jew could not mevatel the Jew's part? So the Gemara explains, "Bialdusa mekasava." When he was younger, he held Yisrael adaita da'avik kachavim palach. When the Jew is serving avodah zarah, why is he doing it? He became friendly with the non-Jew, and even went in partnership in the idol, and he serves it because his friend, the non-Jew, is serving the idol, so he also does. But if the non-Jew himself is nullifying, says this stupid idol, and he nullifies the avodah zarah, so they saw not mevatel, so the Jew is also nullifying it. And therefore, he said that if the non-Jew is being mevatel the avodah zarah, there's a partnership with the Jew, it's also being mevatel the Jew's part. But it was a knusi, so when he got elder, he held that no, Yisrael adait did nafshe palach. When the Jew serves avodah zarah, he does it for himself because he's misled. Ki mevatel avik kacham de nafshe. Therefore, when the non-Jew is mevatel his portion, the Yisrael lay batel. The Jew's portion does not become batel, and therefore it's always asa. That's one version. Iki demasin la, those who learn Reb Hillel b'Rei de Rav Alis's qualification, aseifa on the later part of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Yisrael, a Jew, ain mevatel avodas kacham shel avi kacham. He cannot nullify the avodah zarah of a non-Jew. So that the Gemara asks Peshitta, it's obvious. We said the source of being mevatel avodah zarah is psilei lehem, which is talking about the non-Jews, they can mevatel it. Why should we think that the Jew can mevatel the non-Jews avodah zarah? And that is Amar Hillel b'Rei, as we continue to have in Gimel Amud Aleph. Through Rav Alis, he says, no, the chiddush that the Mishnah was teaching us is sheyesh lehem, that the Jew has ba shutfis. He has a partnership in this avodah zarah with the non-Jew. Now, even that itself, the Gemara is assuming we didn't have to tell you, because that's also obviously. Because, of course, he cannot mevatel the portion of the non-Jew's part in the avodah zarah, because even his own portion he cannot mevatel. Like we said, his part is b'sam basasa. Rather, it's for the inference. The Kamash Malan, what it's teaching us is, Yisrael hu delo mevatel de'avik kachavim, the Jew cannot mevatel the non-Jew's part. But the non-Jew could nullify his own portion. Meaning, we don't say that just like the portion of the Jew cannot become batel, so also the portion of the non-Jew cannot become batel. That was saying that no, the Jew only cannot mevatel the non-Jew's part. But the non-Jew could mevatel his part in the partnership with the Jew in this idol. And those who learn his qualification on the teaching of a b'raisa. Reb Shimon Menashe Emi, he says, "Avodas kachav mishal Yisrael ain lebetei leilama." Says the idol of a Jew can never be nullified. On that, the question was, "My lamas wasn't me forever." And that was a qualification. Amar Reb Hillel b'Rei de Rav Alis says, "Lei nitzchah is only necessary to say," meaning, of course, the pasuk of some assessor is "Elu sheyeshli levi kachav b'shutfes." It's talking about that the non-Jew has a partnership with the Jew in this avodah zarah, and that's what the chiddush is telling us, that even if the non-Jew is mevatel his portion, the portion of the Jew does not become batel. And that's for Kamash Malan. That's teaching us the Yisrael adaita dinaf shepalach, because the Jew serves avodah zarah for his own intentions, and he does not make himself contingent on the intention of the non-Jew. So even though the non-Jew is being batel his part, that's the teaching that the avodah zarah of the Jew, his portion, did never become nullified. What do you mean never? Even though the non-Jew has been batel, that doesn't impact the Jew. He's still going to go out and worship and therefore it's going to be maintained to be forbidden forever. That's the third version in what Reb Hilber de Valis was qualifying when he was talking about this case of a shutvus of Yisrael and a non-Jew in the Navi Dezar.